Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
February 14th, 1998.
Sixth grade.
Dear diary.
Dear Jesus.
Dear sweet asswad.
Adults sharing the embarrassing things
they created as kids.
So I wrote poems about masturbation.
Before an audience
of total strangers.
I feel like an idiot.
I'm the only normal one in my entire family.
Mom, you can't read this.
These are the stories hidden inside
the pages of our past.
You're listening to the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil, and today's episode takes us back to a time when the internet itself was still in its own adolescence, before it was something you carried wherever you went. In the mid-90s, if you were a teenager and wanted to connect with a friend online, there was no Snapchat, Instagram, or Facebook. But there was AOL Instant Messenger, or AIM for short.
Welcome.
By today's standards, using AIM was an ordeal. First, you'd commandeer your parents' desktop, then you had to make sure nobody was using the phone, and then you'd literally call the internet. Of course, if you're like today's reader, Tyler, and you weren't the smoothest operator, the invention of AIM also provided a new place where approaching the opposite sex seemed far less daunting.
It was basically the kind of idle chit-chat that you would do in person kind of naturally if you weren't a sort of painfully shy weirdo like I was, who needed this kind of, like, you know, very controlled environment where you could read over a message four or five times before you sent it.
And there was this one girl in high school that Tyler was too afraid to talk with in person.
She seemed sort of cool and aloof and different, certainly smarter. We were involved in a lot of the same after-school activities, sort of nerdy high school club stuff. I mean, like drama club. There was an academic competition team.
Amazingly, Tyler started talking with his crush over AOL, and they hit it off.
I just became certain that the two of us were meant to be together. That sense of, like, this is written in the stars kind of thing.
Here's Tyler and a very special guest reading transcripts of his AOL chats circa 1998, recorded at Shuba's Tavern in Chicago.
And so whenever I would chat with Janelle, I would save the chats. There are over 300 pages of them, and I still have them, and I wanted to read from them, and so I've decided to bring somebody up to help me sort of bring these to life. Her name is Janelle, and she is my high school crush.
Oh, hey. So, I'm Janelle. To give you a little bit of background about me, I was a year older than Tyler was in high school, so I thought I was way cooler. I had my own group of friends, but they were people I just kind of hung out with. They weren't people I felt like I could confide in or talk to a lot, so I spent a lot of time online. And when Tyler started chatting with me, I thought, well, okay. Sure. So he was pretty entertaining. We did have a lot of things in common. So in the beginning, we would commiserate a lot, and it would go something like this. I think I'll wish for a boyfriend. The single life gets old after 2 years, I suppose.
Well, it shouldn't be too hard for you.
Funny. Funny.
Okay, it should be hard for you?
Yeah.
Well, I know it's hard as hell for me.
Yeah, because people are losers and don't realize how freaking cool we really are.
You know, I always like the line that people use on me. Oh, you're such a good friend.
damn. I hate that.
You get that one too?
Only a few times, but still, it sucks.
I mean, what's so bad about us?
I don't know.
Am I that disgusting to women?
My theory is that everyone is too obsessed with what going out with someone will mean to everyone else. You know, he's going out with who? Why? She's ugly.
I mean, I know I'm not that attractive, but I should at least be able to find someone who doesn't care.
I know. It really, really sucks, and I hate people.
Well, damn. We have more in common than it would first seem.
True.
Tell me, as a girl, am I really that bad in comparison to what's out there?
Oh, don't believe that. Look at it this way. At least you have a brain and a personality. Someday, those qualities will be appreciated rather than ignored.
I guess. I'm always afraid to approach girls. Fear of rejection, I guess.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, there are a couple of people who I'm interested in, but I could never approach them.
Yeah. I understand. Okay, I'm gonna go now. So, I kind of got the hint, but I wanted to ignore it as much as possible.
Teenage Tyler was not the most subtle person in the world, so he would drop pretty heavy-handed hints. I was a pretty lonely person at that point, too, and I felt like I had found somebody I could actually, you know, share some thoughts and feelings with. And even though I didn't want it to be romantic, I still wanted to keep that, like, connection to another person alive. And I just kind of wanted to downplay it and hope that it would just go away.
I've always thought that dating a friend would be better than dating a stranger.
Because you're a guy.
Not necessarily. I just think that it's better to know someone already than getting to know them as you go.
Guys think like that. Girls are much more impractical because we love the mystery and the intrigue and all that crap.
Hey, I like mystery and intrigue as much as the next person, but I don't know. I've always wanted a secret admirer.
Oh, yeah, so have I. I always get jealous of people who do have one.
I mean, just think. There may be someone out there who likes you, but they just can't tell you.
So, I thought the scary part would be having to deal with it if Tyler actually confessed his feelings to me, but soon I found out that the scary part would be that he would write about it at length, in detail, without even one single pseudonym in his online diary.
From my online journal. While I tend not to believe most Eastern religions, I'm beginning to see where this whole karma thing can really irk a person. I'll tell you, from the way things have been going for me lately, I must have been a child molester in a past life. Things took a turn for the worst on Wednesday. I had spent that night looking for the perfect floral arrangement to send to Janelle on Valentine's Day. It had to be just right to express my true feelings towards her in a tastefully understated manner. Late in the evening, she got online and we began our semi-nightly chat. As the night wore on, I started to panic, as I tend to do on the eve of a romantic decision. I began to get the feeling that if I didn't do it right then, I would never be able to properly tell her my true feelings. So I blurted them out like a moron, totally catching her off guard and ruining my V-Day surprise in the same moment. Of course, Janelle reacted as you would expect. Negatively. You seem distinctly creeped.
Why are you hinting about it?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Well, to be blunt, I like you. I have for some time now. I've always been too afraid to say it because I knew how it would end up. But tonight, for some reason, I felt brave. That explains the whole hinting thing. So there you have it.
I figured.
Speechless?
Uh-huh.
Good?
Bewildered as to why you like me, and upset because, bluntly, I do not return the feeling.
Hey, I expected it.
But it's not fair.
How do you mean?
Because I won't even give you a chance.
Yeah. No, yeah, that does suck, yeah.
Even when I know you're really lonely.
Well, I just sound pathetic, don't I?
No.
Look, don't worry about it. Feelings change in time, as do people. Just remember, whenever you feel alone, there's someone out there who thinks you're wonderful. And who'd do the world for you. Think of me.
You remind me a lot of myself when it comes to relationships. You let your self-worth be defined by whether or not someone else likes you. You have to promise to remember that you are smart and funny, and you are a catch, and you will find somebody who can appreciate that. And don't let rejection from one stupid girl get you down.
All right, I can do that. So you and I are always going to be just friends, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yep.
Man, you're good. You even remember to close that false hope gate at the end. I'd finally been direct in my feelings with Janelle, and I had received a direct and heartbreaking response in return. Things got pretty tense.
But we kept talking. Sometimes things were tense, sometimes they were fine, but from the safety of our respective keyboards, we still kept talking. And then it was time for me to go away to college. On my last night at home, most of my other friends had already left, and I didn't really know what to do. I drove around for a while, and then I decided, why not? I stopped by Tyler's house.
And we kind of sat on the couch and talked for a while, and then he presented me with this 3-ring binder full of every conversation we'd had for the 3 years before that.
Oh, man, I had forgotten that. I had actually forgotten that happened.
That happened. I'm not sure I knew how to react to that. It was really, I think, the first time we'd really hung out in person and talked about some of the things we talked about online because they were, you know, sitting right in front of our face.
From my online journal. Janelle came over last night to say goodbye. It was her last night in town, and she chose to spend it with me. After the usual sarcasm that always begins our conversations, we spent 4.5 hours just talking. Though that sounds fairly mundane, it was an activity in which we had never actually engaged in person. It was actually quite emotionally fulfilling. By the end of the night, we'd come to 2 conclusions. Number 1, we are both giant, incurable dorks. And number 2, it was stupid of us to wait until the last possible moment to actually hang out with each other. As Janelle left, I felt closer to her than I had in our nearly 2 years of correspondence. In her own special way, I think she felt it too. I've realized just how cool she is. Janelle's one of the closest, dearest friends that I've ever had. Wherever we end up, we'll always be close enough to remind each other that no matter what we try, we'll always remain dorks to the highest degree. And in the end, that's all anybody can ask for.
That was Tyler and Janelle, reading aloud their old AOL chats, with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness, in Chicago at Shuba's Tavern. And stick around, there's more of the story as we chat with today's readers in our postmortem. Fide. We caught up with Tyler and Janelle recently, and I had to ask Tyler, why, oh why, did he keep such an obsessive transcript of every single one of their AOL chats?
I just felt like at the time I could use them as reference material. You know, I mean, if I was playing the long game on this, it might require some sleuthing back through the annals. You know, like, I remember also keeping a list. Here's what Janelle said she wanted in a boyfriend and what she didn't want. I was just like that analytical approach to like wooing someone, which is like the complete opposite of anything that's ever worked.
Of course, Tyler's analytical approach to wooing Janelle was made possible in part because of when they grew up. In the late 90s, the internet and real life still felt like separate universes.
I don't think there's any way it would have worked out the same way. I think we needed that weird sort of semi-privacy.
Yeah, it was a special event when I got on the internet every day. When my mom said I could and nobody was trying to call her on the landline, and I could actually log in, like it was it made it kind of special when we could actually connect and have time to talk.
Being on the internet was something that you did for like an hour or two, you know, and you sort of had these windows where you could reasonably, you know, expect to be talking to somebody. But then, you know, you'd go about the rest of your, you know, the other 21 hours in the day or whatever and sort of be out of contact. And so it kind of gave you some time to ruminate and process instead of having this sort of constant stream of, you know, always on communication that we have now.
Of course, when they graduated from AOL and hung out in person, it left Tyler feeling hopeful about their future. But how did Janelle feel when she left that night?
I think we both knew going forward, like, our relationship was still going to be there because, you know, we never spent that much time together anyway. And we were still going to talk in the same way we had before when I was, you know, 4 hours away. So we kind of came out of it feeling like our friendship was reaffirmed. And I think teenage Janelle felt like, okay, we've finally gotten over that awkward hump and now we can move forward.
Our friendship is basically tailor-made for long distances, you know? We forged our friendship in this sort of digital space you can carry with you anywhere.
Now, as it turns out, Tyler and Janelle have remained close ever since high school. They went to the same college, they lived in the same city as adults. And in a surprising twist, Tyler is marrying the woman of his dreams after all. Just not in the way he could have predicted.
I'm actually getting married in a couple months.
And I'm performing the wedding.
Yep. That was actually my fiance's idea.
It was certainly a huge honor to be asked and a fitting end to a chapter of the story. But yeah, high school Tyler would be, I mean, I would say he'd be like drinking to forget. I wasn't even cool enough to drink in high school. I guess I'd be watching anime to forget.
Of course, I had to ask. What was the fiancé's reaction when he went to the Mortified show in Chicago and witnessed Tyler's dogged pursuit of Janelle over AOL?
Frankly, he really sympathized with teenage Tyler because, like Tyler, he was kind of a quiet guy who didn't like talk to people in person but built kind of these online friendships. So he totally got where Tyler was coming from and, you know, kind of frowned upon teenage Janelle, I think.
He's got a good head on his shoulders.
Uh-huh.
To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit the new and improved GetMortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this series. The Mortified Podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. And if you're interested in supporting our podcast, well, we'd love that. Email sponsor at radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Pierce Braselli, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Katcher. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, and Snake Snake Snakes. Shay DeGrandis produced this performance for the stage. Additional thanks to the luxurious Lance Roberts Studios, Shuba's Tavern, Annette Ferrara, Victoria Rodriguez, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.
Goodbye.